When was the last time you will willingly admit that you were scared or you're afraid? I know somewhere across the lines this week, you all had to experience maybe a little bit of fear about something, or to be scared about something, no matter how small or even how great. But fear is something that is inevitable. Anxieties are things that are inevitable. It's so important that we are able to recognize fear and recognize being afraid. And then on top of that, what do we do when we are recognizing this situation? Do we cower down? Or do we stand up boldly and face this fear or these anxieties head on? And I know that you all have had that feeling before of that deep feeling in your pit, in the pit of your stomach, or that lump in the throat because something is happening. Maybe an opportunity to speak publicly, and you're not accustomed to doing it, or maybe you just don't like doing it at all. Or maybe you were driving down the road this past week and you were nearly hit in a collision. It doesn't take long to get the heart rate going, the sweaty palms, the increased breathing. And those are all common responses to fear. But the important thing is today that I want us to discuss is no matter what type of fears that you face, no matter what type of anxieties you face, we have one common denominator that we come to worship, that we have come to know and learn of, who can calm those fears, who can squash those anxieties and take them completely away from you, and that is Jesus. Do not be afraid. What an important set of words that we have in our Bibles. Do not be afraid. There are many other things that can happen in our lives that may cause us to be afraid. For example, we are beginning to quickly close in on the 2016 year, and some of you may be having year-end reviews coming up. And I can imagine how that may be, to sit down and to go over things that you accomplished, maybe some things that you were supposed to have accomplished, but yet you didn't meet that goal. Those are fears. But here's another fear that I want to ask you of today to see if you've experienced. And that is the fear, the total fear of not being willing to relinquish yourself to God and allowing Him to have total control of your life. For some of you, that may scare you to death. It may put you in a position where you feel that you cannot handle that. There is no way in the world that you can do, or you're even willing to find out what you could do for God. And that causes great fear. I've experienced that fear. I know that fear. So I can relate to you all if you have felt that way in your lifetime. But let me tell you, it is so important that you allow God total control so that you do not have to be afraid. We will not have any angels, a host of angels coming down and sitting in front of us or lighting in the sky and looking down at us telling us to not be afraid. We have something far greater. And that is the word of Jesus Christ, who tells us time and time again to not be afraid, to fear not. And so today I want us to focus on what we can do to work through fears, to work through anxieties, being able to relinquish yourself to the sake of the call. If you can get past that one fear, you will have the tools necessary to accomplish all tasks, to eliminate all fears. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you What's the last word? Go. Wherever you go, He's with you. He may be in the back of your mind, but you're always on the forefront of His. He goes with you everywhere you go. And we must remember and to take into consideration that God has a plan for each and every one of us. There's no need to be afraid. God is in control. Fear is a natural instinct. Some feel that it's a learned behavior, but most feel that it's innate, meaning it's within you. It's born within you. It's in your DNA. Now, some things that may cause you fear may not cause me fear, but fear is inevitable. It's our emotional response to dangerous circumstances, or maybe a circumstance in which you feel that you have no control over. It could be an illness, a tragedy, or just everyday life. Fear can succumb you. It can take over your life. So what will you do, or what can you do, to combat these fears? It's so important that we realize that all we need to do is to surrender ourselves to God and to allow Him to take care of all of our fears. And as I mentioned earlier, the word anxiety, fear and anxiety are generally synonymous one with another. But sometimes anxiousness may not always be a fear. Anxiousness can just simply be the physical and the emotional and the mental aspect of fear. But one can be anxious and not technically be fearful. For example, I am anxious to go ahead and get Tuesday here to get this second surgery out of the way. I'm not fearful for the surgery. I am anxious to go ahead and get that event over with so I can begin the recuperation process once again. But sometimes anxiousness can be a sin. It can cause problems. Because if you allow that anxiousness to take over your every thought, then are you giving anything to God? Are you allowing God to be within your life? Now, He's there if you've called upon Him to save you from that sinner's hell. He's there. However, if you allow that anxiousness to permeate and to take over, you're not allowing God to do His part. You're hindering God's ability to do what He has claimed, what He has promised that He would do for you. So I encourage you, before we go any further and read our focal passages today, I encourage you all to know that God cares, that He wants to make sure that you have no fears, that you have no anxieties. Sure, they will come and they will go, but you have to know what to do when they arise, and that is give it to God. Allow Him to take control of all areas and aspects of your life. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 tells us, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And verse 7 says, "And the peace of God," this is so important, "a peace that truly passes all understanding, a peace from God shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So if you're willing to surrender, to submit, to relinquish all control to God, and allow Him to have His way in your life, then He will keep your heart and your mind in tune with Him. No greater directive can there ever be than to allow Jesus to lead and guide and direct your life. It is through God's Word that you, that we, can conquer all fears. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would love for you to turn to Luke chapter 1. I know in the bulletin it states verses 28 through 33, but I decided to go back and implement verses 26 and 27 as well, because it is the proclamation, this is the enunciation of what is to come. So out of reverence for God's holy and infallible Word, I would ask that you stand and follow along as we read from Luke 1, verses 26 through 33. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you had a plan. That you told us in your word to fear not. That if we are willing to cast our cares on you, God, that you will take control of our lives and that you will protect us. You will provide for us. And Lord, we know that there are days ahead in our lives where it will be difficult, where fear may strike, where anxiousness may arise. But God, if we will humbly surrender ourselves to you and allow you to take control, and just put our faith and trust in you, God, we know that you will ease these fears. You will ease these anxieties. And so, God, it is my prayer that as we move forward in this service today, God, that we realize that all we simply need to do is to look to you. Father, during this Christmas season, we want to look down upon the manger. And, Lord, we know that's where it all began from an earthly standpoint. But, Father, it is in our best interest that we realize that we no longer have to look upon that manger. But God, we can look up to the heavens and know that the Savior that we serve is sitting at the right hand of you, God, our great intercessor. Father, I submit the remainder of this service unto you, praying that you receive all honor and all glory for everything that transpires in this service today. God, I love you and I praise you. And I thank you for these people who are here today. And all of this I pray and ask in your precious and holy name. Amen. In the context of today's passage, the word fear or the word do not be afraid is referenced over 120 different times within the Bible. But for today's message, I want us to simply focus on the very first time that Jesus was mentioned to Mary. And we also know that this signifies to us, it's a reminder to us of what the prophets of old declared years and years before the Messiah's birth. But I mentioned or discussed with you all the fears that you may have experienced. But can you imagine the fear that Mary experienced when Gabriel came to her and gives her this message? The fear that struck her heart, that struck her deep down into her very spirit. But you know, when we typically think of fear, you want to place fear in a negative connotation. Typically, you think of fear, there's no way that you could see anything positive from the word fear. But there is. And for one example, if you look back in verse 30, the second part of verse 30, it says, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So what that tells us is that God saw fit to use Mary. It could have been any woman, but he found favor with Mary. Now we don't know the whole background of Mary's life, but we know that God saw fit to choose her for a special reason, for a special plan. To carry his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, the great Messiah. And so I would imagine that eased Mary's fears when it was told of her that God had found favor in you. So the same way that Mary's fears were squandered, you too should be able to experience the exact same feelings. Now, you haven't been given a proclamation as Mary was given, but fear is fear. So know this, God has found favor in you. But the question is this, have you willingly found favor in God? And if those things exist together, that is the best tool that you ever will have to move past fear, to know that God has found favor in you. And as I mentioned earlier, we speak of fear being a positive thing. If you have developed a fear that may prevent you from doing something that could cause bodily harm to yourself or to another person, then fear, I would say, is a good thing. One of my children really doesn't have much fear, and it has caused him numerous bumps and bruises over the course of his life. Sometimes fear is a good thing. I hope that he will develop that fear when he gets a little older. And I can be honest with you, I know for a fact, speaking from a personal standpoint, fear does exist even in my life, and it has proven to keep me from doing things that I once would have done. A couple of years ago, I needed to retrieve something on top of the house. It was a boomerang, I believe. And so I back my truck up. I have a high-pitched roof. I back my truck up, put the ladder on the truck, and I'm climbing up, and I'm getting ready to put my foot onto the rooftop because I'm going to go up the roof. I used to do that. But as I pulled that first leg up and I realized how unstable the situation is, I probably need to reevaluate this method of retrieving the boomerang. Of course, it didn't help any that Amanda was below me saying, Michael, you don't need to do this. So fear was guiding me as well as Amanda was guiding me. And so I didn't. I had a better idea. I went and got a rake, and so I used the rake to help me so I didn't have to climb. But fear is a good thing. It can help us. It can keep us from becoming injured. But here's the thing about fear. No matter what, we have God by our side. And we have God who can guide us and direct us. Now that little fear is nothing in comparison to major issues that we may face in life. So that's why it's so important that we give our fears over to God, because God has found favor in you. If you look back at verse 32, it says, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Now, wow. I imagine fear probably rushed back in again when she was told that the person that she was going to carry, this little baby that she was going to carry, shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. What a job, what a task she was responsible for. And now for you all that are parents, grandparents, this does not apply to you because I know grandparents' thoughts of grandchildren. But you at our parents, of course you think that your child will never do any wrong, that your child's going to grow up to be the next president, the next rocket scientist, neuroscientist, whatever it may be. We all want to think that. And we think that our children are perfect. But of course we have to know, not even deep down inside, that they're not perfect. Nor will they ever be perfect while they walk the face of this earth. But think about what Mary had to take care of and how she had to condition her mind. Now, we know that God was at work and that God was guiding Mary. But at the same time, we have to realize it's still human reaction to have fear. But that same God that calmed Mary's fears is the same God that can calm your fears. It's the same God that can tell you, fear not or do not be afraid. The emotions that Mary had, I'm sure, were overwhelming. But we have to remember that God had found favor in her. And once that God has found favor in you, there is no need to worry. There is no need to be afraid. We must realize that God will always provide. He will always take care of your needs. And so I can imagine, though, what a calming effect it really was when the angel Gabriel told her to fear not, And so what a calming effect I want you to experience and to know when Jesus Christ can tell you, fear not. When you intently listen for that still, small voice, where he gives you a peace and a calming and a reassuring that no one else can provide. His power can surpass all things. His power surpasses all things. There is no greater counselor than he. We must not be afraid. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me might you have peace. Because in this world you're going to have tribulations. But be of good cheer. Be of good faith. Be happy. And know that the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome this world. If you would now turn to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. Now, in this particular set of verses that I'm going to read, this is from John. So we discussed and we looked at Mary's reaction to fear. And Mary's reaction to fear was the beginning of the wonderful plan that God had began to set forth as it manifested itself on earth. So that was the beginning. Jesus Christ's birth was the beginning of God's masterful plan on earth. But then John, what he had to see and what he had to witness is a foreshadowing. And it lets us know and it informs us how things will be once Jesus' plan has come to fruition. This is Revelation 1, verse 17 and 18. And this is John saying, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me." Can you imagine how that felt? As Jesus' right hand touched him. Jesus laid his right hand upon John, and then he speaks. And look what he says. Very first thing that he says, Jesus says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." We know that he was the one that liveth, he died, and he rose again. That same man who suffered on that cross was that little precious baby. Where that plan all began, where the angel instructed Mary not to be afraid, because you will be carrying the King of Kings. Do not be afraid, because I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make sure that everything is going to be okay for you, Mary. And then as Jesus fulfilled his life from a baby to a child to an adolescent and then to a grown man, we read the finality of his plan. Jesus let John know there was no need to fear. He lets him know that he was the first and the last. But I love it how he says, "And I am alive forevermore." If Jesus is alive forevermore within your heart, then you have no need to fear. You have no need to worry. Cast your cares upon him. Allow Jesus to do what he has promised to do. Allow Jesus to implement in your life a plan that will eradicate all fear and anxieties. Mary's plan was revealed through an angel. John's plan was revealed through Jesus himself, giving him the visions of what was to come. But both experienced a fear. But both were able to conquer this fear through the presence of God. Just as you can conquer your fears through the presence of God. But the most important thing of all, even though both were visited and were given two different types of information, They were able to cast out their fears for one reason, and one reason alone, and that was through what? Through faith. The same thing that you have is your faith. Being able to have faith in God and knowing that He will always do what He promises. He may not do it on your time. Well, actually, He always does it on His time. You know, our time is not always congruent with God's time. But rest assured in knowing that His time is impeccable. His time is always correct. And in closing, if you don't mind, I know that sometimes we turn back from verse to verse and chapter to chapter, but I would like for you to turn back now to Luke 2. Luke 2. This is our closing verses. These may be verses that we hear in tonight's play, I don't know. But Luke 2, verses 9 through 11. And I hope and encourage that you all take time to actually read this chapter before you and your family may get together and celebrate Christmas, before you open presents. Read these verses aloud to your family and let them know what Christmas is all about and why we have an opportunity to even use the word Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and 11. It says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid." Look what happens in verse 10. "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Fear not." It always goes back to Jesus. It should always go back to Jesus. It began with Him. It's going to end with Him. But fear not, for behold, those angels have brought glad tidings of joy. And can you imagine that light as it lit up the sky? And then that comforting word of no need to fear, because God's got a plan. And that plan was the birth of the great Messiah. These good tidings of joy are for all people, and for anyone who's willing to choose and believe in our wonderful and our merciful Savior. So I say to you today, I leave this with you today, so if you're experiencing heartache, if you have fears and anxieties, simply place them at the foot of the cross. Place them at this altar. Submit them to God and allow Him to ease and calm your fears. The answers to our problems began thousands and thousands of years ago in that manger. And now, the answers to our problems sit at the right hand of God the Father, waiting for you to come unto Him. Relinquish that doubt and that fear that Satan has implanted in you. And allow God to direct your every path. So I do encourage you not to be afraid. I encourage you to listen to God's voice, for He has a plan for you. He has a plan for all of His people. For He is our wonderful counselor, our Savior, our King of Kings. He is our Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. God, we come to You this morning with humble hearts, Father, willing to submit ourselves to You. God, is my prayer that we know that we need You more than ever. And God, I know that we have a difficult time, myself included, of separating what the world has made of Christmas. Versus how you intended Christmas to be. And so, God, I pray today that we truly realize the best gift of all is you, Jesus. You willingly gave yourself for a sinful man, a sinful woman, a sinful child, and this sinful earth, God. All we simply need to do is come to you, Father. Giving our hearts to you, Lord, allowing you to use us in a way that only you can, a mighty and powerful way. Father, you have told us to not be afraid. Your angels gave that message to fear not. You gave that message to John to fear not, for you are the great I am. Father, we love you and we praise you. And God, I do pray a special prayer for our children's program tonight. Lord, what a blessing it always is to see your little children kneeling down at this altar during children's church, standing up and singing songs to you, Lord, with their innocent and naive hearts. Before the world has begun to infiltrate their minds, God, may we be the leaders of the church, the leaders of our houses, to show this new generation, this next generation of who you are and why you are. Father, we love you and we praise you. In your heavenly name I pray. Amen.